Next item on the agenda is public comments. It's an opportunity to speak to the commission on matters not before the agenda. I do understand that on public comments, we do have Mr. Richard Green here. Morning, Mr. Green. I've received your petition and will be glad to hear your public comments first. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
No, sir, it's public comments. You don't need to be sworn.
Members of the board, commissioner.
Good morning.
Which one of the petitions are we both on?
You can address any of them that you want. I've got the whole file here.
Okay, well, one is for extending the oyster season.
Mr. Green, could you say your full name for the record?
Richard Green.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Do you want this to look over while you speak?
No,
okay. All right, sir.
Basically, what it is, we're trying to get an extension on the oyster dredge season, which is due to expire end of this month. I think most of the watermen, such as myself, is under a considerable amount of hardship. It's the economic times we're living in right now with the country and the situation as it is, it takes a lot of money just to survive each and every day. And I don't think very many of us can probably go 2 or 3 months with no income. And one or two may be fortunate to have a little something done, but most of us pretty well just wanted to set fast and maybe work on something until the spring season opens up again. So, and it's been a very bad, like crabbing has been good this year, but the market has been so bad it hasn't been a very good money season. And the same thing with fishing. And usually you'll have a little abundance of money, you know, to kind of carry you through the winter. But this year, it's been an unusual season with the market being so volatile as it has been. And I think most of the watermen, like myself, are just pretty well trying to get by each and every day. And I think this extension is very critical for us to try to get through the winter months. And we're hoping that you would be extending this for us, gentlemen.
Okay. Any questions of Mr. Green by members of the commission? Mr. Tankard?
Mr. Green, let me make sure and the folks who have signed the petition knew what was coming at you for how long now, the closure of the season?
Well, I guess we were pretty well aware that it was coming. But, you know, usually things work pretty good in our favor, but economically wise, it's gotten very rough. And with the Christmas and everything, it's kind of spurred us into trying to have this shove through. I'd like to apologize for being so late trying to get it through with you, gentlemen, but it's just that the money situation, just plain the money is just so bad right now, and we just need to get through the next few months. And it's basically why we try to shove this through at this point.
Further questions of Mr. Green? Well, just so we're on the same sheet of music, in order to accomplish for the commission's benefit, and Mr. Grant, if you can help me out, that in this situation, we would be required to adopt an emergency regulation.
Correct.
Because it would expire December 31st, as it is. And the requirements for an emergency regulation, it says, if an emergency, the adoption of a regulation is necessary for the immediate preservation of the public peace, health, safety, and welfare or protection of the seafood industry, natural resources, and marine organisms, the commission may promulgate the necessary regulation. The regulation shall be published and filed as prescribed in 28.2209. No regulation adopted as an emergency regulation shall remain in effect longer than 30 days unless a public hearing is held as required pursuant to 28.2211. I guess my concern, and I want to hear from Dr. Wesson, is that whether this satisfies the requisites of an emergency regulation. At the present time, it's my understanding, I'll get clarification from Dr. Wesson, that this matter has not been vetted by the Shellfish Management Committee. The Shellfish Management Committee, when they met, it was one of the more peaceful meetings that we had here pertaining to oyster season, that I made comment of that in the years that either I've been a commissioner or been on the other side, and I think it was a pretty clear understanding that that's the way things were going to be. However, if you'll let me, I'd like to hear from Dr. Wesson as far as the status, and Dr. Mann, if he'd like to make a comment as well on the status of the James River, and use the science to make the decision, if that'd be okay with you.
Because, I mean, still, we're doing a pretty good oyster season. It's, you know, we'll make a pretty good day out of it, and I'm sure it'll be, because especially when the winter months come, you're not going to be working each and every single day, you know, because the weather's going to get us, you know, 2 or 3 days
yes,
a week, and it's basically to get us through the winter is what it's going to be all about.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mr. Green. Dr. Wesson?
Good morning.
Good morning.
As you recall, I mean, we went through this season issue with the Shellfish Management Committee for a long time. We actually started working on these things back in June and had several meetings June, July, and August, coming up with the seasons for this year. And the seasons that we came up with, the staff had recommended, because we knew that these issues were that you needed to have some seasons throughout the whole year, the staff had recommended a staggered season so that there would be something open to carry them through March. But the industry was pretty adamant that they wanted all the seasons coming together because they thought that would spread out the activity, and the seasons that we came up with of these were most areas. Some areas that we had, staff had recommended there was only enough standing stock there for 2 months. We went along with the waterman said, and since all these were opening together, we said, well, we'll give them an extra month on these areas, and they, with the thought that they would spread out. I mean, we've been doing flights, and the area that we're talking about right now is the top two, and you know, we thought, the staff thought that that watermen really don't spread out that much. They pretty much go where oysters are, and the two big areas in Virginia this year were the Drummond Ground area, the Rappahannock Area 4, and the Lower James. That's the only places that we had seen standing stock of any quantity. And that's, if you look at the flights, I mean, that's where most of the activity has been. This is the dredge area they're talking about, the second line. I mean, the last time we went, there were 48 boats working there. And the Drummond Ground actually closed at the end of November and will open again in February. Standing stocks are not high in these areas. I mean, this shows you, we're looking at markets right here. Per meter in this lower part of the river, they're very low. But when they're all taken together, I mean, we had a standing stock of about 11 or 12,000 bushels on the public bars out there, and we know that there's been a lot of line crossing out there, and there's been a lot of going where they're not supposed to be with the dredge line and everything, and it's probably propped the season up a little bit longer than it should be. But the important thing there is that most of these areas are around one or two oysters per meter, and this was done way back at middle of November, so it's been almost a month and a piece since this was done, so they were lower than this now, and that's when most of the activity occurred. And, you know, just simple math, when you get 40 boats out there and if they can catch 10 per man, you know, it could be anywhere from 400 to 800 bushels coming off of the day, and the numbers just don't work out. I mean, most...
What do you mean they don't work out?
They don't work out. If you just multiply that 20 work days, you're way past this standing stock of market oysters. That the waterman that had called me on the side and said, you know, this area is pretty much shot, and unless we open up more area, they think it's doing more damage than it is, than it's the good. And the good thing in this area is that we have more smalls coming, and we had a good spat set, and the longer you grind on these areas, the worse that they'll be for next year. And next year is going to be really, really hard. It'll be much worse than this year. The only area that will have any standing stock in it is this area of the Lower James and the new area that we open up in the Lower Rappahannock. Most of the other areas, we haven't seen the spat set until this year, and so nothing will be big enough to catch next year in these areas that they've been able to work on in other areas where a few of the people have been able to go. And, you know, it seems like what we're doing in the Lower James is working. I mean, we're getting a steady increase in standing stocks as with the management we've been doing. We don't want to go off the cliff like we've done in Mobjack Bay, where we did work that too hard and small oysters were taken out of the area, and there's just nothing to speak for in those areas. So it's, you know, we know there's a hard situation. We wish that there was enough oysters in Virginia to last for these 160 boats to work all season. But there just is not. I mean, we just, you know, we've not had very good spat sets up until this year for 4 or 5 years, and there's just not a lot of standing stock there to take. And The more we spend on it now, it's just taken away from the spat set that's out there and the smalls are out there.
Questions of Dr. Wesson? Yes, I'm sorry, Mr. Tanker.
That's all right. You mentioned a steady increase in standing stock. How do you gauge that, Mr. Wesson?
From our pipeline survey. These surveys that I just showed these numbers, where we go out and we take grabs from all these bars that are in this lower part of the river, and plus we do it jointly with VIMS, and we determine how many orchards there are there and what will probably be the number of bushels available to watermen. And even if we're off 50%, you still, in the number of days we put on this area already in the three-month season, it's way over what it should have allowed. And, you know, they're still making a day's work, but who knows where they are at this point. And the longer you push it, the more you get, you know, the tendency to go places that you're not supposed to be.
Thank you, Dr. Wesson. Dr. Mann, do you want to address this issue?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning, sir.
There are actually two petitions here.
Right.
And to this point, we've discussed one of them, which is extending the season. The other one is moving line. My greater concern, there's been discussion about extending the season. You've seen both sides of this. I have nothing to add to that. My concern is this idea about moving the line. This has been an ongoing debate on and off for a number of years. We have addressed it in the advisory committee. I steadfastly believe that we should not move these lines. Management in the long term of shellfish is about managing the substrate. It's about managing the shell base. One of the reasons why the upper part of the James above the present line remains productive is that, and I can show you the math on this, but it would take me 15 minutes. It's the only place in Virginia, in fact, it's the only place in the Chesapeake Bay that actually has what I call a positive shell budget. It actually produces more shell than it loses through burial, and just the fact of the shell rotting due to sponges. It's the only place in the bay that does that. And the reason why it does that is that the shell pieces there, first of all, result from continued recruitment. There are places above this line where this year, on Point of Shoals, for example, there are up to 1,300 animals per square meter. That's huge. And where is that? It's nearly all small spat. And where is it set? It's set on big pieces of shell that are sitting above the sediment water interface. Now, I've spent a lot of time in the past few months sampling this stuff, looking at how this shell is arrayed with respect to sitting above and below the sediment water interface and how the sizes of it relate. If you break that stuff up on this top and it sinks, the vast majority of the stuff that's sunk is small stuff. It's gone. You can tell it's gone because it's black. I can show you the cause. I can show you how it works. It's the budget of the shell that sits above that sediment water interface where the spat set that's really important. And you don't get it by dragging a destructive piece of gear through it and breaking it up. If you break it up, you increase the surface area. You increase the surface area of the chemical dissolution. You increase the surface areas of the borers, and it disappears faster and it sinks faster. The sedimentation rate out there is between 2 and 3 millimeters per year. When you break it up into small pieces, especially when you break it up at this time of the year, it's buried by the time spat sediment season comes around. I can show you the math. We have steadfastly preserved that area above that line for hand tonguing ever since I've been in Virginia, which is 26, 27 years now and a long time before. I think hand tonguing is the way that that area should continue to be harvested, because not only does it harvest, but it preserves that all-important shell base. That's why it works. The moving of that line lets in another piece of gear. That other piece of gear is more destructive, and I know that because I've sampled the bottoms, and it's been over, and you end up with smaller pieces of shell, and they sink faster. It alters the dynamics at which the rate that the shell disappears. It's math. My concern in these two, my concern is for the moving of the line. We have this discussion every year. I think the history of the commission, back to the days when I first stood in front of Mr. Pruitt in 1985, has always been to preserve that area for hand tonguing. And I think that the moving of the line is not appropriate. I understand that there is a debate here about the extension of the dredge season, and it's an economic versus a resource issue, and I understand that that's in your purview. I agree with Jim that there is a real challenge in terms of the depletion of the resource. I also understand that it is within your purview to look at those economic issues. That's not where I am at the moment. What I'm talking to you about is the movement of the line. I don't think you should move that line because history and math show that where it is maintains the area above that line is being productive. So I'd like to address the second part of these two. I thank you for your attention.
Any questions for Dr. Mann?
No, sir.
Thank you, sir. This is public comments. Is there anyone else that wishes to be heard on this matter? Yes, sir.
My name is Charles Brown.
Morning, Mr. Brown.
I've been oyster all my life. We got a lot of issues here. Y'all got issues. Mr. Wilson got issues. We got issues. And the problem is that when y'all opened everything up at one time, that was great. But Georgia, the boats went to Rappahannock River to start off with. And I think it was probably 80% of the boats that started washing season started in the Rappahannock. So therefore, the James River really never had many boats starting off in the James River at the beginning of the season during the month of October. As November approached us, boats started filtering back out, thinning out, as y'all tried to get the boats to, and some left the James River, Rappahannock River, and we came back down to the James River and started working down here. The month of November was great and for dredging in James River, and it's still good. But as the end of November and the first of December, we started having weather problems. And I got a nice boat, and most people that has a nice boat, in the month of December has only worked 7 or 8 or 9 days scraping, compared to we had worked every day in the month of October and November. And so y'all might see a little increase down in December, but we have not been working because of the Mother Nature. So by all, James River has not been worked much in October or the month of December. So we really never got 90 days to work it, and it's still productive. The days that I do get to work, and the fellow watermen, we still come to our limit, if not close to our limit, and we're still catching marketable oysters, and there's still a lot of oysters to be grown for next year. And the oysters that we're still selling, as big as your hand, they're probably not going to make it another year because they're getting to the end of their cycle. And personally myself, I crab, and this summer was bad, and we was thankful y'all opened all the orchard seasons up at the same time. So we could get down, and most of us has gotten back on our feet from a hardship from crabbing. But if you close the season down at the end of the month, even though that you think we're hurting, we're still only going to be selling marketable oysters, and the weather is going to take effect, or we're not going to, if you give us a 60-day extension or 90-day, it ain't like we're going to be working this ground every day for the next month of January or February because of water issues, I mean the weather. And Shaftong has been even less than that. And there's no more young people to Shaftong. I've Shaftong all my life. I'm not able to do it no more. It's a lot of people not able to pull Shaftong. It's coming 1st of January. There's going to be over 200 people out of work. And because of the closed season, and they're not able to Shaftong. They're going to be sitting there with no income. They're not going to be able to prepare their crab pots to get ready for next year's spring because they're not going to have the money to do that. Then you're going to see an increase in crabbing because they didn't have the money to get their gear ready for this year because we never made no money this year crabbing. It's money. And everybody that's still oystering right now, the market is greater than it ever has been in the state of Virginia for market. And I've been on the buying side as having an oyster house myself in market this year. You used to have to almost beg people now. People are begging us to go to work because they need the oysters to thrive onto it. I don't see why we can't do something with this line. The oysters up there are this big. Of course, y'all know that we all went in there. And they're that big, they're marketable, the Shaftongers is not going to work them. They have not worked that ground up there, and they ain't going to work that ground because it's too deep or they're not able to do it. I don't see why a little time for us going there and continue on and get a step on this good market that we got right now while the good one's good. Cause next year, Louisiana will be into it. We will not be able to sell no orchards. We'll not be bad. Our market's good now. Let us go in there and clean them rocks up for a month or two. That's reverse that line where y'all gave you the Shaftong, let us go in that. And as far as the doctor said here, he's probably got a lot of good points. But I know I worked on Thomas's when I was 15, and we never had orchards as beautiful as they came at the James River. And you guys, any BMRC agents that ever worked the waters, they've never seen James River come there. Yes, it does do something by working the rocks. And we would be able to work a lot more over drugs than tongs, because we're not, you're putting a lot of people out of work come Brussels, January. I mean, they're going to be at home. They ain't going to have nothing to do because they're not able to do it. And we got the market and we got the resources, and, you know, everybody wants to work.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. Who's next? Mr. Green, do you want to speak again on this?
Yeah, I'd like to address a couple of issues.
Okay. Since you're the one that's leading the group that with the petition, I'll allow that, but normally I don't, but go ahead.
The rest of the guys are staff at itself as well, but I'm in the same boat as all the rest of the watermen, so I think we're all pretty well in agreement on what's being said. I'd like to take up the issue to start with about the dredging and extending the season again on Thomas. There's still a considerable amount of oysters in there. It depends on which waterman you talk to. Some watermen will go there today and they might catch 7, 8, 10 bushels. Some will catch 15, 20, 22, depending on the waterman. Every waterman is not the same and do not catch the same. And if somebody made a comment that it's bad and no good, then maybe for him, it probably wasn't good. Most of the guys are still making a very good day, and the catch is down. I mean, I got a degree. It's down some, but we still make a very good day at it. And I don't think the depletion of the resource would come in play as of right now, because as a lot of areas we go around, we find it's not like oysters in every single spot. You get her down, you go around these rocks, and you find your little place, and you'll stay down, you'll work it, and then you'll move on to another one. If you know, that's just the way it works. And some days you get a great day, and some days you don't. But we always seem to make us a good day. And I still would request that this extension be granted, because it is very well needed, gentlemen. It is really needed. And on the extension of the moving the line that we basically petitioned for to move it up to will not affect none of the particular rocks that's in question. We're basically coming across the river, and these areas have not been shaft tongued. I don't think there's been a tongue of them in 40 years. And to start with, you're going to have to use 20, 22s, 24s, and ain't nobody going to pull those long tongues no more. It's just completely out of the question. And these areas would be suitable for scraping, and it's not going to affect like the rocks just above it, I guess, rack shoals and these other ones. I imagine that's basically what the doctors are talking about. We're not requesting to get into these particular rocks, but we would like to come up closer to them, because there are little nudges and little oyster rocks and knolls and places where we can make us a day's work. We go around, just like I said below, and we find these little places and we work them. We got dredges, we can work deep water. We just add a little more rope out, and ain't no problem to go to 15, 20 feet of water if we need to. You can't do that with shaft tongues. And this will not affect none of our major rocks up the river. But in the long term, it's not going to be no shaft tongues. Sooner or later, somebody's going to figure what we'll do with our natural resources and our rocks up there. Now, you're saying these rocks are too delicate or whatever. I got a friend that has some a piece of ground on one of these finger rocks over in Rack Shoals. They're part of these very rocks. Now, he's been scraping that rock, which is a legal piece that he got outside of the Baylor survey. And he's had it for 3 years, and it was nothing but snaps, you know, these long, spindly oysters, which that's what happens when the oysters grow wild on these rocks without being worked. You know, we more or less, we cultivate these rocks is basically what we're doing. It's just like a farmer cultivating his field. If you don't move these seed and these rocks and these oysters around, they're going to snap out and get long and spindly, and they're going to compete for food, and eventually they will die. And now, right now, he's been working this ground for 3 years, and he's got some beautiful oysters growing on that ground. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And it's these very same part of these very same rocks that we're talking about, and it's not destroyed. These rocks are natural rocks. I mean, it's solid rock beneath these things, even though you may have sediment and whatever's on top of it. That's basically why they call them a rock, because that's what they are. And a lot of times, the more you clean them up, the better it actually strikes. I can't say that there's sediment in certain areas, and you got a certain type of situation going on that particular oyster would work that way. But I know we work these rocks down below, and they've gotten better. They haven't gone that way. And I like ecology, and I'm in for all the things that's good, but we're simply not going to have the people. They're going away. There's going to be no shaft tongues. You only got a very small handful. I would say at the very best, I don't even know if you work 10% of the our natural rocks with the shaft tongue, because there's nobody there to do it. It's just like the guy was saying a while ago. We're all getting old, and we can't pull these tongues no more. And so just a very handful of young people coming up, because they're not getting interested in the water. because there's no future in it for most of them. They just want to get out of it, and they go and do something else, go on jobs, and which that's going to be the biggest waste we're going to have, because we're going to lose one of our major food production sources for the state of Virginia. And someday we may need them. We might just need to call on these people.
Thank you, Mr. Green.
I thank you, gentlemen.
Who else wishes to be heard? Mr. Brown? Good morning, sir.
Good morning. I'm Mark Brown. I want to go over some of these issues. What I'd like to see y'all do is extend the line. The line now is approximately, if you look on a chart, I measured it at home, it's approximately 8 nautical miles long from down Nansemond River up from Rainbow Point across to Blunt Point. What I'm suggesting y'all do is close the hand scraping area that's open right now from Rainbow Point to Blunt Point down to Nansemond Ridge is to close that and extend the line up river 4 nautical miles, which is approximately, I don't have a chart to show you, but it's the green, it's the old channel that goes up the James River. It's a green channel mark and a red channel mark. The numbers are 3 and 4, and extend a line straight across the river to the new channel, which is the north channel, the one that they cut through. The buoy number on that is 17 and 18. And that opens up, it's leaving below Point of Shoals, the lighthouse, which is where the biggest seed or area is that the doctor was talking about. It's approximately 3/4 of a mile below that line. Won't extend, it'll be 3/4 of a mile below the lighthouse. Extend that line straight across, close everything else that's open right now, like he wants done, and extend that open and open that season up for 30 days and see if that doesn't produce a whole lot more oysters. And I know it will. I mean, I'm 100% sure it'll produce more oysters. This stuff of shaft tonguing and dredging versus dredging and stuff like that, you know, I don't think anybody that came to this meeting today walked. I don't think anybody walked. And I don't think anybody's going to walk back home from this meeting. And I've shaft tonged. I've been oystering since I was 14 years old. My father gave me a boat and a dredge, and I went oyster dredging when I was 14 years old. So I've been oystering most all of my life. I do some other things too when the economy's bad, but I've always worked on the water. So I know firsthand that hand scraping or dredging or whatever y'all want to call it is not going to hurt anything. The best, the most productive oyster rock in the James River is owned by J.H. Miles at Thompson. I mean, if you go back and look at all the records, and I don't think anybody shaft tonged on that in probably 35 or 40 years. They've been dredging that piece, and it's producing in some years. And when the oysters died off there in the late 80s and early 90s, no, nothing produced. Nothing produced nowhere. But now that the oysters have came back and everything's producing, they strike from up the Pagan River. I own bottom on the Pagan River. They strike from the Pagan River all the way down below the James River Bridge on both sides of the river, more than I've ever seen. There's a ton of little oysters in places. All the way up the river, all the way up Day's Point, up to Point of Shoals. But just give us 30 days, and I'll guarantee you that we'll show you what's there. That's all I can ask for.
Mark, I'm not worried at the present time, from a personal perspective, about the production aspect of it. What I'd like for you to do, with your knowledge, is to quantify to me how much damage for the future you think this would do, or why it would not, and why it wouldn't.
It'll be beneficial.
In what way?
Damage anything.
In what way?
Beneficial.
In what way?
You're going to go there and work some of these rocks that haven't been worked in 30 years. You're going to bring them back out. All of the rocks that are being worked now, they've got the statistics to prove it. I think this is, if I'm not mistaken, these are samples that Mr. Weston took, correct?
Right.
Well, I watched you take the 3 samples at Ballard's Marsh. You pulled up mud on 2 of them. So you weren't on the rock, for sure. I mean, I sit there and watch it because I was working it, and y'all came. I mean, that's...
Address the chair, please.
You know, that's my personal, just sitting there viewing. I'm not the only one seeing that. There were several other folks that laughed. I mean, they laughed. I mean, I'm not making fun of him because, I mean, he doesn't have the knowledge that we do of where the rocks exactly are. He should, but he doesn't. He pulled up mud on two occasions when he made a sample. I watched him pull up heavy mud. I mean, and that's, you know, that's neither here nor there. But what I'm saying is the rocks like it. Nansemond Ridge, Cruisers, High Shoals, Lower Dog Shoals, none of those rocks have worked hardly any at all. Brown Shoals has been worked some, a little bit last year and a lot the last few weeks, a couple weeks ago before my son had an accident, and I've been with him for a week, so I didn't work that one.
Glad he's doing better too, by
the
way.
But Ballard's Marsh is a good rock, but that's been worked heavy, and that's why it's a good rock. All these rocks up at Day's Point that we're not allowed to work, all those rocks are just sitting there. The shaft tongs are working them some, but it's so hard that they don't go there every day. They'd rather go somewhere where the bottom's loose and the oysters are easier to catch. I mean, most of these guys will agree with me. These rocks that have been stayed open, that we dredged and dredged and dredged and dredged and dredged, they've been open since the commission approved the hand scrape area in James River. They need to close that for the rest of this season. That's my opinion, but I mean, I'm only one person. They might not agree with me, or they might agree with me. They need to close them rocks down and open up something new. What you had in October, when you opened oyster season, the way that the commission opened the oyster season, you didn't open up Pocomoke Sound. You didn't open up Tangier Sound. You didn't open up none of those rocks. You know what you had with them? You had a bunch of Sax Islands that came to James River and worked in James River because they tied up at my place. They all went back the 1st of December. We can't go, we can't go to Tangier Island or Pocomoke Sound. Most of us, where we live at, we're not going to drive that far to go oystering when we go oyster here in our back door and catch oysters. They came here and took advantage of our oysters the month of October and November. And then you got the month of December, and I don't have to explain to y'all what this has been. This has been probably one of the coldest winters we've had. I mean, in succession to days with ice and wind and stuff. They worked right there at home. They left. They took advantage of our oysters, and they went back home. If you opened up everything the 1st of October, instead of saying, well, we're going to keep Tangier Sound, Pocomoke Sound, all these other rocks open, you wouldn't have this mass exodus of people leaving here, going there and working and taking advantage of that and getting the cream of the crop and then going back home. And that's what you had this year. But, I mean, I'm suggesting that you open and extend the line up the river 4 miles and open that up. It's still below where the majority of the seed oysters are as far as the tongas go. Now, the tongas might have a different opinion, but that's what I'd like to see y'all do.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. Anyone else? Dr. Wesson or Dr. Mann, do you want to follow up with anything more than what you've heard?
That map we're talking about?
Do you have the flyover data as well?
Yeah.
Does the flyover data substantiate what Mr. Brown said, or does it correct what he said? About the number of boats being in the James River?
They were mostly in the James, but you can see by November 1st, they were. That's when the cream had gotten off the Rappahannock. They were back down here. I mean, you see some ups and downs because that might have been a windy day. I mean, as an example, they flew yesterday as bad as the day was yesterday.
A lot of boats out yesterday.
They were still working yesterday. I mean, you can dredge in pretty bad weather. And as far as the Tangier and Pocomoke, I mean, the Shellfish Advisory Committee worked through that one, and that's a very different case in Tangier and Pocomoke than it is down here. And a few did, but right now there's a goodly number of people that have come from the Western Shore and gone to Tangier and Pocomoke. There's more than what came down here. So they do move around. But just at least for that, if you wanted to see that line we're talking about, if you remember back in all the debates, this had all been a sanctuary, all this lighter green. Shellfish Advisory Committee significantly reduced from 7,000 acres to 700 the sanctuary. And this is the dredge line. So most of the area that's been opened up in here has been closed for 17 years. I mean, it's been closed a long time. And, the oysters are healthy there. It would be a significant impact on the oysters to dredge there any more than what's going on, just like people crossing the line.
Questions by members of the commission? Mr. Tankard?
Dr. Wesson, one question for you. We mentioned early on in your testimony that industry wanted it to open all areas at one time, which we originally, the commission and you, had decided that wasn't the appropriate way to go right off the bat, correct?
Well, no. I mean, that's our recommendation was to have it staggered, but we went with the recommendation of the committee, and we did open everything at the beginning. The only two places that opened a little bit late is Seaside. Had asked theirs to stay, not start until November, and Tangier and Pocomoke wanted theirs open in December so they could crab to the end.
Okay. Follow-up question, if I could.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Follow-up,
so,
please.
So the folks we see here today, are they the same that had input into the opening of the season all in one time?
Some do. I mean, everybody doesn't show up for the for the Shellfish Advisory Committee meetings, but they have representatives, and it was advertised for a long period of how would the season would be open. And it has been a very good economic season. I mean, October, November, the prices were excellent. Prices have gone down some now, but, you know, they got the cream of the crop for the money in October for these orchards.
Further questions? Mr. Bowden?
Quite a few. Jeremy, when they're discussing that area above the line, is that what we consider the old seed area where you have the real natural rocks where there are real high peaks and valleys? And we decided years ago that
it's all natural. It's all part of the old wreck show. There are rocks over here.
I mean, a number of years ago, you brought us some maps in here that showed some of the rocks up there that you said should never be open. Right. And I agreed at that time because it was areas that had very high rocks and very low valleys. And if you drug on them, you would be. And that's what they're asking for, is all in that area?
They're all different relief in the James River. I mean, you got some areas that are very high, but the reef structure, when you get the clusters of orchards, are similar from this line up. I mean, they get more like seaside orchards. They're in groups of orchards.
And I will say one thing. I will disagree with Dr. Mann on one thing, dredging oyster shells. I've never dredged oysters except for planted ones, but I have dredged a lot of crabs and clams over the years, and I dredged clams for a very long time, and I believe I caught the same shells for 20 years. Never very seldom destroy a shell, and that's using a much heavier dredge with a large diver on it, and you root a lot of shells out of the bottom. The longer you work there, the more shells you have because you're digging stuff out of the bottom, so... I don't necessarily believe that. I think the problem I see with dredging, and I don't think they're usually actual dredges, are this is a handscrape area. I mean, if you're using a 4-foot oyster dredge, you can do a lot more damage than you would with a handscrape due to the sheer size of it. I'm kind of at a loss in this. I don't want to take a chance on killing a goose that laid the eggs. And some of that area we know is what it is. Some of that area stayed productive even through bad times. It was responsible for a lot of the catch we have below that line. I don't know whether all of it is that way because I'm really not familiar with that. I do know work in certain areas help. I, as a waterman, I know it's probably been one of the worst years it's ever been. I've made over half of my money in 2 months for the whole year. The rest of the year has just been dismal. And this has probably been, I've been working on the water for over 40 years. I've never seen a November and December like this far as weather. Whether it affects them as much on, you know, I'm in the ocean, and it's going to have a lot worse effect on me than it would in the bay as far as roughness. You know, I don't feel confident that we have the stock to open this up for 2 months. But I believe we could have some extension. The problem, the main problem I see is, even with hand scrapes, you can damage the small oysters. And the more you turn them over and over, the more chance you have of damaging them. If you're going into a clean rock and you're working it, you're probably going to bring shells up and it's going to be beneficial. And that's played out when you showed us a Rappahannock scenario where below the bridge was closed forever and above the bridge was open. And actually, the production above the bridge that was open every year was substantially higher than what was below the bridge. Even though you had some large oysters, they were diseased and very poor, and you tried to spawn them and it wouldn't even work. And that's where I am. I'd be willing to grant a couple weeks. There's no way I can feel confident enough that we could do a couple months. I just don't, and I think the couple weeks would be related to the fact that we've had such severe weather. If this had been a typical fall, they would have got those additional days. So, you know, I think we could go for a couple of weeks. And what's your feelings on that? I mean, I know we always figure weather into everything.
It's you and I sometimes do think alike. I asked the specific question yesterday pertaining to weather because I drive across that bridge pretty much every day going to work, and I see the conditions.
And Jim, I'm not going to put words in your mouth, what was your response?
Well, we factor weather. I mean, we had probably recommended, we were more comfortable with a 2 months even here later, and we added an extra month in once we divided up. But they've been there, that they're going to end up being there that full 2 months plus that other month when there was less work. And they are very efficient, and come January 1st, I mean, if you extend 2 weeks, all these other areas are going to close. Those guys are going to come there.
They're going to what?
They're going to come there.
Well, you know, sometimes things fall on deaf ears.
It'll be 60 or 70 boats.
Yeah, I know we factor in weather on everything, and I've been involved in a lot of fishery stuff on the federal side, not just here, and we know weather's a factor. But you take typical weather into account. Typically, you're going to miss a certain amount of days. I mean, you know, that's basically how you do everything. I don't care if you planting crops. You know certain days you're not going to be able to plant because it's going to be too windy and your topsoil is going to blow away. But I don't think this is anywhere near a typical winter. This has been the worst one I've ever seen. I would say in the month of November and December, if I work 10 days, I'm amazed. I don't think I work that many. And I know they do get to work more over there than I would home, but still, I don't think we would do any irreversible harm by giving them a couple weeks. I think we may very well by a couple months. I don't know enough about the area above the line. I know when you brought those, I guess you would call them, you brought in the rocks, and it very well showed that the rocks were substantially higher than the surrounding area. You never want to dredge on anything like that because you'd have the tendency to pull the shells off the top down in the valleys and they'd be worthless because they're only going to strike on the top. They're not going to strike down in between of them. If there's areas that are very similar to the below the line, above the line, that's something that I think shellfish could look at, but I don't feel confident not knowing. And you know, we could ask you to present it, but that would take quite a bit of time. And
well, we've made a dramatic change in that area already.
Right.
From 7,700.
I mean, I think you've done, and I think that's really what's propped the season up as well as it has, the fact that that area had not been worked. But I would make a motion that we allow a two-week extension. There's no way I can make any longer than that. And I don't feel confident enough to do anything above that line until shellfish management should at least look at it. And knowing that you've opened so much of it that was already closed, you know, I realize it's hard. It's hard on all of us. I'm not going to work again until April. But if we do something that's real damaging, we may not work next year. And 2 months is going to be hard. Several years is going to be a lot harder.
Mr. Bowden, would you do me a favor? Before you make the motion, can I see if anyone else in the members of the commission may have a comment, and then I'll be right back to you. Would that be appropriate? Anyone else have a comment? Mr. Tankard?
I certainly understand what Ernie has mentioned. The weather's been tough. There's no doubt about it. I work outside. I have to deal with the elements, and you know, it's, even on land, it's been a tough year. At the same time, you know, I look at, you know, we have a strategy. The strategy that we've implemented over the last couple of years has worked, it seems as though. And that is a preserving factor for the industry and the folks we see here today. So like you say, in the short term, there will obviously be some benefit. The market's very positive for oysters right now. It may not be next year. But at the same time, we've got to preserve an industry for the long term, and that's where I'm conflicted, Ernie, and I just seek any other thoughts of members of the commission with regard to that short-term, long-term equilibrium that we're trying to shoot for.
Further comments?
Mr.
Lane and Mr. Holland.
Well, the principal motivation seems to be economic to Washington. I am sympathetic to the watermen. Carpenters, bricklayers, everybody's having difficult times now. It's not just watermen. It's a lot of folks that are trying to earn a living and having a difficult time doing it. We've had a good 3 months, almost 3 months of oyster season. We've caught a lot of oysters. If we abandon the plan at this point, I'm afraid that we're going to be the, we're going to pay the price next year. We've reduced the sanctuary, and we have done some other things to accommodate the watermen. We've opened all the seasons 1st of October. So we have done some things that we thought benefited the watermen. They requested. But I'm afraid if we go and extend the season now that we're going to have to pay the price in the future. We got a plan. I would stick with it.
Mr. Hall?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like an opinion. Does this have to be an emergency regulation change?
Today it would be, yes, sir. There's the only way that it can do that is the regulation is in place. The emergency reg would only last 30 days, and that would be a problem because, just well, logistically, but because we don't meet for another probably 40 days.
Can we do that? My question.
You can do it, but as I said before, as the Code of Virginia indicates, I have a difficult time, and that's just a layperson's opinion as to whether or not it satisfies the requirements of the code for an emergency regulation. I think great deference is probably given to the judgment of the commission as their interpretation. Mr. Grannis can correct me if I'm wrong, but I would think that that's if it were challenged in court, that's what we would be dealing with. Let me just state, never any easy ones. That's why I specifically asked Dr. Wesson yesterday, Mr. Bowden, about the weather, because I was thinking along those same lines until I heard further evidence that, whether you take it into consideration or not, the fact that weather, the weather is factored into the mix of what the season is. My concern is if you extend it 2 weeks, the concentration of vessels then going to the most productive rocks will basically put us in a situation where those productive areas, and you use the term, and I'm going to use it again, potentially could kill the goose that laid the golden egg, because that's where they're going to go. They're not going to go to unproductive areas and try over again. They've been there long enough now to know where the productive areas are, and if you extend another 2 weeks with an influx of vessels, it's my concern that it's going to do more damage to that river, that it's coming back. There's no doubt. Mr. Brown, I trust him implicitly as far as the spat set, and had discussions with him about it, but that's where I am at this point. And the floor is open.
I will say on the weather part, you know, this has been extreme.
And no doubt.
And as far as going to the most productive area, you know, I'm going to do that no matter what. If I'm deer hunting, I'm not going to the desert. I mean, you're not either. Face it. You know, you're going to go to the most productive.
With my success I've had this year, just as well they're gone. But anyway.
Like I said, I think the areas we really are concerned with is above that line. I think that's something that we're going to hold sacred. I am. And the next person, I have six more meetings. Maybe the next person to feel different. But I feel like.
Hold on a second. I've got to get an interpretation from counsel. David, please.
I think in order to promulgate an emergency regulation, first you have to consider whether or not the regulation as proposed is necessary for the immediate preservation of the public peace, health, safety, and welfare, or the protection of the seafood industry, natural resources, or marine organisms. And I would ask Dr. Wesson and Dr. Mann, I think they've stated, correct me if I'm wrong, that in their opinion, not only is the regulation as proposed not necessary for the preservation of the industry, natural resources, and marine organisms, might actually do more harm than good. Is that
correct?
Dr. Mann, is that also correct? And if the commission so finds that, contrary to Dr. Wesson and Dr. Mann's opinion, that it is necessary, they can promulgate an emergency regulation. But even so, the regulation shall be published and filed as prescribed in Virginia Code Section 28.2209. And under that section, it says that every proposed regulation shall be published in a local paper, and every regulation shall be filed in the office of the commission and open for public inspection not less than 15 days prior to the day on which a public hearing is scheduled. My interpretation.
Go ahead with your interpretation. I'll tell you what my historic interpretation has been.
Is that an emergency regulation could be published and then a public hearing could be scheduled 15 days from the
There's no doubt
the
that
publication.
There's no doubt that it could, but the regulation would go in effect today.
Okay.
That's the purpose for emergency. We'll have one today. The emergency regulation, as it's always been the custom here, by past council opinion, is it goes into effect today. It's published at least 15 days prior to the next public hearing, which would be the next commission meeting, and in no way can it go over 30 days.
Okay.
But the authority of the commission on emergency regulation is right now.
Okay.
And if you want to, in all due respect, I'm not, you've got a law degree, I don't, but that's been the history of the commission, as I understand it. Mr. Bowden.
Okay. Well, I can see right now I don't have the votes. It's going to be one, maybe two. I mean, it's definitely, well, I don't have the votes. Could we do this? Could you provide us with more information at the next commission meeting? Because 15 days in February would be just important to these people as 15 days in January. And that would give you time if you were going to do any more assessments on the area. And, you know, no offense, Jim, on nothing, but I saw some of your patent-tong efforts in Chincoteague Bay to establish clan populations, and it, you can't do it. I mean, it's just...
What's the specific you're asking for, Mr. Bowden, so we can get clear?
You know, I think we can... If we don't think it's an emergency, and I think it could qualify, but the council's decision is it's probably not, we can still consider this at a regular meeting.
Consider anything at a regular meeting.
I mean, and we can put this on the agenda and consider something for February. The people are going to be a lot more dire for its finances in February than they are right now. And maybe you get a better idea of the standing stock that is left. And if you have people that are real knowledgeable in the area, I think you really should use that knowledge. And, you know, we've had discussion on a number of items over the years, even before you were sitting there when we were still on FinFish stuff together. You got some real knowledgeable people, and it's a waste not to use it. And, you know, Mark said a couple of places where there was never nothing. And if... I think he'd probably be willing to go with you. And
so you're asking a report?
I'm asking for
a report
on a regular public hearing next month. If we don't think it's an emergency, we're not going to have to vote. If we have a clearer understanding of the standing stock that's left below that line, you know, I don't even think we can garnish one vote for above the line unless it's someone besides myself.
So what's your proposal? Have a status report and then...
Have a status report and if we
okay,
need to go forward.
For 2 weeks?
And the season may be. And we can advertise that and then it won't be an emergency. We can advertise for a public hearing next month to possibly extending the dredge season for 2 weeks. And you give us a status report. Is that possible?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's the only way to
go. With the understanding that there are no promises.
No promises. We're going to look at it. You
science.
Know. We're saying, you know, we're hearing two different stories. We're hearing, even from among the watermen, evidently some of them think that it's not as good as it is, and other people think it's good. This way, if we can get a status, and you can make use of some of the expertise on the James River to help you when you go out there to make your assessment. And I do know how random stuff works. I mean, a lot of people always argue about, oh, you were where something never was. But that's the whole idea of random stuff because you average it out. And I realize how that works. But
is that a motion?
I make a motion that we entertain this next month for a regular public hearing, and we'll get a status update, and we'll go from there. If we feel like it's warranted, we can extend the season. It's just not going to happen today. The votes are not here. And it is... We really need some of the other commissioners because I know they would like to have input also.
Is there a second to the motion?
I'll second it.
Motion made by Mr. Bowden, second by Mr. Holland. Further discussion?
I have further discussion.
Mr. Tankard?
Mr. Weston, do you think that would really be a good use of your time at that time of year? And do you think there is something to be gained?
I never mind doing surveys. It's always interesting to do some after-the-fact surveys. I mean, it's
just adds to our understanding. I mean, we can just resurvey. I mean, I can let Roger explain to you the survey that we do survey the correct areas, but there are little gaps in between these rocks, and we do a bigger polygon, and we do enough grabs to take care of the few blanks. We're not doing 5 grabs and getting 3 blanks. I mean, we're doing 50 grabs. So, I mean, it's not that we don't know where the areas are. We get hits too. It just, you always have blanks in these rocks. They're not perfectly uniform, and you can't go to the best spot and average that over the entire area.
Right.
So, I mean, we can easily, you know, weather permitting. I mean, we can't, everybody's on vacation now until after the first of the year, but we can get right on that the first year and get a day and get up there.
Well, I'm going to support the motion. I'll tell you why. I went back and I listened to the initial motion that was made when we opened the season, and there was some discussion made about an analysis. And I want to be good to our word. But at the same time, I want everyone to understand that we have to be very cautious. I know times are tough. I don't want to give away the world, quite honestly, but I can't. Can't do it. So any further comment? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Jim. Thank you, everybody involved.